A mighty rushing wind. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Our Lord Jesus Christ, during his earthly ministry, gave the man Nicodemus, you remember that man, a ruler of the Jews, a special encounter by night when this man came to him. It was a life-transforming meeting. And it was the very reason why Jesus Christ came upon earth. The reason of his mission. And he told it to Nicodemus in the famous gospel verse, John 3:16-17. Jesus Christ said concerning his mission on earth, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." The mission of Jesus Christ is single. He knew what he was doing. The Father had sent him on this life-saving mission that he is fulfilling. And he fulfilled in his lifetime. And the message was simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And the means, he explained to Nicodemus, was through the Holy Spirit. When a person comes to faith to receive the gospel message of what Jesus Christ had done to reconcile them to God, the Spirit of God comes and indwells that person. And Nicodemus was brought to understand this truth. Ye must be born again, is what Nicodemus, or Jesus, said to Nicodemus. And Jesus told Nicodemus, and I shall quote that old saying to paraphrase Nicodemus' conversation with Jesus and his conversion. He that is born once will die twice. He that is born twice will die once. This is a very important statement, right, that defined the new birth, Nicodemus said. How can a man be born when he's old? When Jesus said to him, you need to be born again. Jesus was saying to him that you are living in this three-dimensional world, this physical world, but there is a spiritual aspect of life that he wants them to know. This life with their Creator, the living and true God, the God of heaven, the Father in heaven. And he tells them, Jesus explains to him, no, we are not saying that you would be born again a second time in your mother's womb. But what Jesus is saying here is that you are to be born again with spiritual life, not just living in this three-dimensional world. There is a spiritual aspect to life that Nicodemus, who was supposed to be a person well versed in the truth of the Word of God, and yet haven't understood the way to God. And so Jesus had to come and had to show them the way to see and to enter the kingdom of God and to become a child of God. So he says that Jesus said to him, he will not suffer God's judgment of eternal death in hell fire. If you are born again, but you would die this physical death. Right? But he that is born once with this spirit, physical life will die twice. The Bible speaks not only about a physical death, but a spiritual death in Revelation chapter 20. A second death that all men would face. A frightening prospect. Nicodemus was still very puzzled. He asked Jesus, "What do you mean to be born again? What do you mean to be born of the water and the Spirit?" He could not understand spiritual life. And Jesus illustrated to him by the example of the wind. Jesus said in John 3 verse 8, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." So he is explaining and telling to us by the example of the wind. Now we all know what is, we all have been, right, to the park to fly a kite. And in order for the kite to be raised up high, the wind must be there to carry it, to lift it up. Although the wind is not physically seen, but when the kite is fully carried into the skies, you know that the wind is there, propelling, carrying the kite, supporting it. And the kite flies in the skies and you can see it lifted up. So it is with spiritual life. He says that the life in the Spirit is like the wind that comes upon you. Right? That the wind that flies the kite. You have that power to overcome sin in your life. You have that power to say no to sin. You have that power, as it were. You know, there is this illustration that was given concerning about flight. How an airplane is able to overcome the forces of gravity so that it is able to fly. Well, this is a picture of the Holy Spirit's power, right, in overcoming the nature of sin, the fallen nature that is in us, that enables us to become a child of God. And our Lord Jesus Christ is saying that the Holy Spirit would come upon you to clean up your life. The Holy Spirit will come upon you to strengthen you, to give you spiritual life. And Jesus is illustrating to him the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's power that would come upon him when he would receive the good news that God had sent his Son upon earth to save them. And so we see here a picture of God, a picture that God has given to show us how salvation can come. That the power of God would come to save a soul, to usher them from the everlasting torment in hellfire to everlasting life in heaven. And so Jesus is explaining this phenomenon of the Holy Spirit as a wind that blows, and you can expect its presence in the changed life of a person. And now the Gospels is over. We are now in the book of Acts. Jesus is now ascended to heaven. Before his ascension, he inaugurated the plan to save this perishing world, and he tells them that it will be by the power of the Holy Spirit He tells them the Holy Spirit would come and fill them with the power to witness. This is the whole same Spirit that has convicted them, that has come to fill them, to indwell them. And they said, and here our Lord promised that before his ascension, that this power will come upon them in a mighty fashion. We have seen that a couple of weeks ago. Jesus said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." And so Jesus had promised that the Holy Spirit's power would come upon them, and they are to wait for the coming of this power. And so the disciples were gathered together in the upper room, waiting upon the Lord in united prayer and the study of His Word, that God would endue them with power. And the infant church, we want us to see in Jerusalem, followed our Lord's instruction. They were obedient to His call. They were willing to give up all to follow their Master. You see, as we were mentioning in our previous message, Jerusalem is not a safe place for Christians. Jerusalem is not a safe place because their Master is not welcome in Jerusalem. Jesus was held or tried a common criminal, and He was just crucified not so long ago. And so for the disciples to come together to pray, to wait upon the instruction of the Father, there must be something that has come upon their lives to change them, to give them that courage, to give them that conviction, to give them that understanding that this is what they are to do. This is the will of God, or this is the purpose that they see in their own heart as what they should do. Do you know what was the power, that staying power, that caused the disciples to come together? I want to submit to you that they saw the risen Christ. That Jesus died and rose from the dead. He was alive. And He said He would conquer death for us by His death. And the disciples, each one of them, who were gathered there in the upper room, saw the resurrected Christ. They understood that this is the Christ who would free them from the bondage of sin and give to them eternal life. And this is the Christ that we said has promised them that He would go ahead to prepare a mansion in heaven for them, who would return and receive them to glory. And so all the disciples who were gathered there understood this truth. They understood that they were born with physical life and that they were born with spiritual life, and that they would die only this once, physical life. But they would escape the spiritual death, or the second death in hell fire, because Jesus has risen from the dead. And this is the truth that we want us to think and consider and know for sure in your heart, that because Jesus rose again from the dead, He has given you that power through the gospel to overcome sin in your life. Sin no longer can have a stronger hold upon you because Jesus has broken the bondage of sin by his resurrection from the dead. This is the power that all the disciples has experienced with Christ in the 3.5 years that he ministered in Israel. And they all knew that power. When they saw the resurrected Christ, well, they not only feel him, they not only touched him. We also know that the disciples ate with him. That truly, he is alive. And they understood this good news. This life transforming power of the gospel, because it has changed their lives. As we said, if you have not experienced the power of God in your life, then there is nothing you can talk about. But because the disciples have understood, they have been freed from the bondage of sin. We were speaking about the lady called Mary Magdalene. She was first at the tomb early in the morning because Jesus had done a great work in saving her from demon possession. She was in great agony and Jesus saved her. This is the living and true God. And each one of the disciples understood that in Jesus Christ is everything. Outside Jesus Christ is nothing. And so when Jesus Christ said to them to give up all things, to tarry with him in prayer for 10 days in the upper room, is it too much to ask of them? Of course not. Everything that they have comes from him. Everything that they own comes from him. Everything that is in them comes from him. And if we have understood this truth, if we have understood who Jesus Christ is, then you want to share the good news of the power of God to the people around you, isn't it? And this was what the disciples understood. Jesus said to them that they are to be witnesses for him. But Jesus also said that you can't witness by your own strength. I will endue you with power. And Jesus used the word dynamite to describe the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them so that they may be able to speak words of truth, to witness for Christ. And that same Holy Spirit would take those words that they speak to convert the soul. Amazing power that God is saying, God is telling them he would endue them with to do his bidding. And so every one of them were obedient to the call. They knew that it is a great privilege to be called a witness for the Lord. And they tarried there waiting for the Lord. Two thoughts that we want us to see. Mighty movement of the Holy Spirit, verse 1 to 4. Mighty witnessing for the works of God, verses 5 to 13. Before we would go and be a witness, God has to show us the way. God has to endue us with his Spirit to guide us, to show us how we are to witness for him. And they all knew and understood the importance of this work. As we said, that he that is born once will die twice. If you don't have spiritual life, you're going to face eternal judgment. Not just physical death, but eternal death. But God has provided a way out. God has provided a way to save men destined for hell. And the Lord would choose this time at Pentecost to manifest His power. And I want us to imagine, you see men and women moving headlong to hell and the torments of hell that comes. But when the Holy Spirit came upon the people of God, God gave them the power to rescue them one by one, pull them out of the condemnation of hell. What power we are speaking here. And the Lord wants us to catch a glimpse of this same power that exists with His people today. The Spirit of God indwelling the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit indwelling His people, would come and fill us and enable us to be His witness. If you have understood the issues of heaven and hell, if you have understood the true issues of life, then you would be like the disciples to come obediently to the prayer meeting. And what happened here at Pentecost? Well, the scene here is in the upper room. Right? The disciples were praying for the last 10 days, and it was the day of Pentecost. Verse 1 tells us, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place. So they were praying, they were seeking the will of God, they were waiting upon God. They knew from the word of God that power would come upon them, but they don't know when. And this was the moment that is recorded for us when the Spirit of God came to fill them. A very, very important lesson for the Church of Jesus Christ, that we must not move ahead of God. We must be waiting upon God before He gives to us the marching orders. And when He comes, when He sends the marching orders, we are ready. We are prepared. The Lord wants us to see and understand and know and have a feel of this power of God that comes upon His people, that they may be witnesses for Him. And how did this power, or how does this power manifest itself? Verse 2 tells us, it came suddenly. The power of God came suddenly, without announcement. They were caught unprepared. In a way, they did not know that the Spirit of God would come at this time. But the power of God came, and that power of the Holy Spirit was described as a sound from heaven, as a rushing mighty wind. Remember, we were saying about what our Lord Jesus used in the description to Nicodemus concerning the movement of the Holy Spirit illustrated by the wind. Now it's not just a little breeze, but here we are talking about a tornado or a storm coming, you know. A mighty rushing wind. Earlier you see the salvation of one soul. Okay, here, by the time we reach the end of Acts chapter 2, 3,000 souls would be saved. Mighty power of God. And, you know, throughout the history of revival, we read of men and women quietly praying, seeking for God to do something because they understood the need before them. The trouble that is in the lives, in the families around them. Unless the power of God comes, the Holy Spirit comes to do something to convict men and women of their sins, to raise them to spiritual life, they are in trouble. And so here we are seeing the time when God sent His Spirit. The time of waiting is over. Here you see the Holy Spirit manifesting itself as a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. Right? The word filled in verse 2 is once again repeated in verse 4. Right? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what is described or promised by our Lord many days earlier before His ascension. Jesus said, "But wait for the promise of the Father. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So this is that filling of the Holy Spirit that came upon the disciples to enable them to witness for God. You see, we need to be still before God, to prepare our lives before God, to spend time with God in His Word, in order to prepare our hearts, prepare our lives, that we may be under the full sway and conviction and control of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That God has done something in the lives of all these believers, all these men and women who were gathered there. God has done something to clean up their lives. And they have understood the value of a holy life before God. And they wanted to pass this blessing, share this blessing to others. And Jesus means by which this blessing is to be shared is through the filling of the Holy Spirit. God must enable us to do His will. And therefore, you see here the work of the Holy Spirit coming like a rushing mighty wind, and how it filled the people that were gathered there in the upper room. And here it is described, the movement of the Holy Spirit, not only as a mighty, rushing mighty wind, but as cloven tongues. Well, here you see the Holy Spirit described as filling the disciples with the ability to speak words of truth, right? To breathe out words of truth. And this he described as like as of fire. So what exactly is this filling of the Holy Spirit, this cloven tongues that came upon the disciples? Well, it is the Holy Spirit coming upon the disciples to enable them to speak, to declare, to witness for God the truth. And the Lord wants us to know, right, that when the Spirit of God comes and fills us, the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, is called the Spirit of Truth. He would endue us with the truth. How to use the Word of God to give to the people. And you would witness the amazing power of God that enables you to give the Word of God, and that Word becomes effectual. Right? A person listens and you will see a change. So we realize that this power is not in us, or this power is not of us, right? But it came when God comes and co-labor with us through His Spirit that indwells us, right? Giving to us that wisdom. And so, what was this power that came rushing through? Well, we want us to see, right, that they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, what was this gift of the Holy Spirit that came upon the disciples when they were filled? God enabled them to be His witnesses. God enabled them to speak words of truth, to convict hearts. And this was described here, the mighty movement of the Holy Spirit. As verse end of verse 4 says, as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Very interesting. A very appropriate time. Pentecost. 50 days after the Passover. It is a feast in which the Jews would come to celebrate, to remember the blessing of God in their lives. The blessing for harvest is also called the Feast of Harvest. Blessing them with their crops, their first crops, the first fruits of their crops. So, you know, this first preaching enabled the first fruit, as we will see at the end of this chapter, 3,000 to be saved. First fruits of what? Well, first fruit of a multitude of men and women who would be saved when the Spirit of God would energize the disciples to go out. And this power that came from Jerusalem would go all the way to the capital of the Roman Empire. And so this is, as it were, the first installment, as it were, the first fruits. Right? When you see the first fruit, you know that there will be a harvest coming at the end. Right? So this was the Feast of Harvest. This was the time when the Jews would bring their first fruits. Interesting. So that's the first thought. The mighty movement of the Holy Spirit. And secondly, the mighty witnessing for the works of God. Verses 5 to 13. Right, you see this in verse 11. You see, at that time in Israel, there were many Jews who were dispersed all over the world, who came back to Jerusalem to remember God. And it was at that time that the Lord wanted to show something to the Jews. What is it that the Lord wanted to show them? What is it that the Lord wanted to do by this gift of the Holy Spirit upon the people at this time? Well, I want to submit to you that this is a sign to the Jewish nation. God was speaking to the Jewish nation by these tongues. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21 and 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21 and 22. In the law, it is written, "With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people." Who is this people? The Jews. "And yet for all that they, will they not hear, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not." The Lord gave this sign of the ability that the disciples were able to speak words in which all the people gathered there could hear in their own language. Right? We see here in our text that there were 16 different people that were described there. Right? People up north, right? From the Parthians to the Medes to the Elamites. Right? These are all the people up north, okay? From Turkey and Persia, and Parthian is the modern day Iran. Right. And then those who were in Mesopotamia, those which were in between the two rivers, the two great rivers, the river Tigris and the Euphrates. But these were all the scattered Jews after the diaspora, after the judgment. Judgment by the Assyrians, judgment by the Babylonians. The Jews were scattered all over. Not everyone returned. And then you see also down south, in Judea, right? Also in Egypt, in Libya, right? You see the people coming from the south, right? Then you also see the people coming from Asia, coming from the southeast, from Cappadocia, Pamphylia, and Phrygia. These were places that the Apostle Paul would go in his missionary journeys in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. So there were all these people gathered there, and then there were the Arabians and the little islands of the Mediterranean, the Cretes. Right? All these Jews and proselytes came, and they all heard, verse 11 says, the wonderful works of God in their own tongue. What was the Lord doing? Well, the nation of Israel was supposed to be God's witness, but they have rejected the Lord. And the Lord has sent these tongues to let the people know that this indeed is a judgment upon his own people, the Jews. And we all know that the witness of Israel would cease not many days hence. AD 70, Israel was totally destroyed. And God gave the witness to his church. And it's interesting that God did not totally cast out the Jews. But God caused a select group of Jews to be the leaders of the Christian church. God leaves with him a remnant, right? As you see in your text there, in verse 13, 12 and 13, how there were those who believed, and how there were also those who doubted. Right, verse 12 of our text. And they were all amazed, but there were those who were in doubt. Right? And there were those who asked, what does all this mean? Not all will be saved. But the Lord opened the eyes of those who will be saved. And you see here the beginning of the New Testament church, when the Spirit of God came upon the people of God. They were enabled to be his witnesses. What is this enabling? Well, this enabling is to cause you to have the wisdom to share the Word of God to men and women so that they may find salvation in Jesus Christ, that they may be plucked from the ravages of hellfire. And this is something that we want us to see in perspective of this witnessing mandate that God has given to his church. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank thee for granting to us this text speaking of the first movement of the Holy Spirit in a mighty fashion to save sinners. The first fruits of a harvest to come. O Lord, we want to thank thee, for we are the partakers of that harvest that first began at Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came to fill men and women to bring the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. And Lord, we thank thee that we living at the uttermost part of the earth were given the truth, because men and women were willing to risk their lives, willing to give their time and resources to share the gospel, often at great price to themselves. Oh Lord, we want to thank thee for this gospel that truly saves, and the gospel debt that we owe for all the good that we have received, all the blessing that we have received. Oh Lord, we pray that thou enable thy people to repay their gospel debt and to wait upon thee for the filling of thy Spirit to lead and guide us to be useful instruments to fulfill the only plan that thou hast left for thy church, to glorify thy name. So Lord, may thou help us to glorify thy name by being a witness for thee. O Lord, may thou clean up our lives. May thou help us to live lives that is befitting a witness, an ambassador for Christ. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.